Okay, this morning we're going to do something, we're going to start doing something very different than we normally do. We're going to have a combination of video study and discussion study. So we have a video, this is a series, as you can see on your notes there, called Between Two Trees, and it is by Shane J. Wood. Shane is a professor of New Testament studies at Ozark Christian College. Okay, does a really, really excellent job in laying this study out. It's some things that I think are really good, and they really challenge our thinking about some really important things. Cindy was down visiting at Central Spartanburg a couple of months ago, and they started this series then, and we started kind of watching it, and we were with them back about a month or so ago, last time we were both down there, and had one of the sessions, and it's really, really good, and I spoke with the other elders about it, and they agreed that we can go ahead and do this. Understand, disclaimers here, okay? This is, you know, it's material from someone from Christian college. But it's the college is associated with the Christian churches, not the churches of Christ, okay? One of the things I don't agree with everything that he says in here, okay? But so far I haven't found anything that I would say is unbiblical, okay? Just some things that maybe I would term it a little bit different, would say a little bit different, but come on in, Roger.
Hello, how are you?
I mean, you're back.
Yes, I'm glad to be back.
I know. Folks, this is Roger. Roger just lives right down here in the cul-de-sac and came to visit with us this morning. Take a seat, any seat. So just keep in mind, you know, I had a professor in college that we were discussing one time, and he told me this. He said, whenever you eat fish, okay, you eat the meat and you spit out the bones. And that's a good philosophy in approaching Bible study, because we're not going to always agree with everything that someone writes in a book or what have you. I venture to say somewhere somebody's going to find something in my book that they don't agree with, okay? That's fine. You don't have to agree with everything. We just want to make sure that what we do agree with is biblical, okay? So I want to encourage you, listen to the video. It's about, I think it's about 13 minutes long. And then afterwards, we'll do some discussing on it. Everybody should have a handout. There's a brief outline on the front of your handout of the things that he's going to be talking about in the lesson. And then on the back are some questions. We depending on how much time we have, I don't know that we'll talk about all the questions, but I have some of them circled and highlighted that I want to make sure that we have time to discuss. So let's go ahead and watch the video. Tom, if you'll go ahead and start that.
Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 2. Then the angel showed John the river of the water of life, shimmering like crystal, traveling out from the throne of God and the Lamb. On both sides of the river of life, stretching down the middle of the city's great street, stood the tree of life. The Bible ends the way it begins. Kind of. I mean, the Bible ends the way it begins to a degree. I mean, it's not as if the previous 65 books of the canon accomplish nothing, contribute nothing. I mean, we can see a significant and lengthy progression. I mean, moving from Abraham to Moses to David to Ezekiel, Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. And then we get to John the Baptist. We get to Judas the betrayer, Peter the denier, Paul the apostle of the Gentiles. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground, both geographically and theologically. But I stand by my statement. The Bible ends the way it begins. Sort of. You see, in Revelation chapter 21, this is after the seals have been broken, after the trumpets have sounded, after the bowls have been poured out, after the two beasts and Satan and Babylon have been destroyed. In Revelation 21, verse 3, the voice of God avers, "Come now. The dwelling of God is with humanity. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. And there will be no more pain. There will be no more grief. There will be no more sorrow, because there will be no more death." Because Revelation 21:4 says that the old order of things has passed away. And as surprising as it is expected, in the very next chapter, we once again find ourselves looking at a tree that we have not seen since Adam and Eve forfeit our right and theirs to eat from. A tree that's no longer protected by the cherubim's flaming sword. A tree that Revelation 22 says produces 12 types of fruit each month, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. For in Revelation 22, we once again come face to face with the tree of life. You see, the Bible ends the way it begins. The Bible ends in a paradise garden, in the presence of God, under the shade of the tree of life. But here's the problem. The problem is, life isn't lived under the shade of the tree of life in Genesis 1 through 3. And life isn't lived under the shade of the leaves of healing of the tree of life in Revelation 22. Life is lived between these two trees. And between these two trees, life is hard. I mean, between these two trees, life is hard. Life is filled with this struggle with God, this wrestling with the image of God that we both embrace and mar. Between these two trees, our lives are woven into this tapestry of struggle. Between these two trees, gentleness is disparaged, violence is celebrated, and restraint is mocked. Between these two trees, the prophets are silenced, while the profane are revered. The saints are assailed, while the adulterous are esteemed. Between these two trees, kids are a commodity, and women are treated like property, and race is justification for abject savagery. Between these two trees, agony is our anthem. And struggle has become our native tongue. Between these two trees, life is hard. And we struggle to connect with each other, with God, my goodness, even with ourselves. There are many days where I don't even know who it is that I am, or why it is that I'm acting this way. Between these two trees, we are stirred with a longing for something to be different. A longing for something to change. A longing for transformation. You see, we all long to be someone different. We all long to be someone different. Every single one of us, rich, poor, male, female, old, young, we all long to be someone different. Even those that right now, as you're listening to this video, are thinking, not me. We all long to be someone different, even if it's just a better version of ourselves. We want that different haircut, or we want those that six-pack abs, or we want whiter teeth, or we want to be a better mom, or we want to be just less like our mom. We all long to be someone different. And what we have to understand is that this is not a curse. No, this longing in all of us to be someone different is a gift from God Himself. We've just forgotten. Forgotten the gift of longing. Man, I love being a dad. I love being a dad because my children remind me constantly of truths of the mystery of God that growing older, somehow, for some reason, I just simply forget. My children remind me of this long-lost gift of transformation, this longing for transformation. They remind me of this whenever they were young, and my daughter, for example, would invite me to a tea party. But whenever I would sit down at the tea party, I wasn't sitting down with Paige. Oh, no. She would be adorned with her high heels and her pretty princess dress and her tiara, and I would sit down with Elsa or Belle or whatever the mermaid or princess was that day. We would sit down, and she was no longer Paige, and I was no longer Dad. No, we had transformed. We both were someone different, and if I ever made the mistake of calling her Paige, she would look at me exasperated, like, "What are you doing, Dad?" And immediately, she would say, "Dad, I'm not Paige. I'm whatever the princess is for the day. And you're Captain Hook." I never understood that. Captain Hook. Always Captain Hook. Never Prince Charming, never Aladdin. Always Captain Hook. But then again, I was just thankful to be sitting next to a little princess. And I'd stare across at my daughter, and we both lift up our cups of tea filled with air, and the best tea our imagination could conjure, and we would tink our glasses together and drink away. Transformation. Being someone different. This is what made being a child fun. I mean, do you remember playing children's games as a child? Do you remember that you never once said, "Hey, I don't care what game we play, I just want to be me"? I never said that. I never once started a game and said, "I don't care what we play, I just want to be Shane." No. We all wanted to be someone different, whether it was He-Man or the damsel in distress or the superhero. We all wanted to be someone different. I don't know about you, but I always wanted to be Spider-Man. Spider-Man was my guy. And you know, I would even remember at times I would stare into a mirror and I would point my forearms heavenward and have an upside down I love you sign, trying as hard as I can to squeeze the webs out from my veins. They never came, and some people may look at it and think it was absurd, but it isn't absurd. As a matter of fact, it's a reminder of something that children always knew in their hearts. That they knew we were meant to be someone different. You see, children are infused with the mystery of transformation. We call it child games. We call it childish. As a matter of fact, someone even looking at you today saying, "You were meant to transform, you were meant to be different," may come across a little offensive, especially in our world. I mean, in our society, we are taught that you don't long to be someone different. You just embrace who you are. You were just born this way, so just deal with it. You know, it's no wonder that we live in a society swimming in antidepressants and suicide reports. For we look into the mirror of our souls and we long to be someone different, but we have a world looking back at us saying, "Transformation is not possible. You are who you are. You were born this way. Just embrace it." But children remind us that we were made to be someone different. That we were made to be someone new. That we were made for transformation. Yet somewhere along the way, we just simply forgot. And listen, we may have forgotten, but the longing never goes away. It just changes shape. For embedded in the pursuits of adultery is the longing for transformation. Embedded in the overeating is the longing for transformation. Embedded in the materialism is the longing for transformation. Embedded in the overzealous parents that are chanting for their children on the sidelines as they live out their athletic exploits in front of them is this longing for transformation. And it is not a demonic curse. No, no, no. It's a gift from God that reminds us where we have come from. And also reminds us where through Christ he is taking us, returning us home. Throughout these eight video series, this video series of around eight videos, it will be saturated with the Bible. We will be looking at text after text after text. But the question that this series is asking is not how do we read the Bible? The question this series is asking is, how does the Bible read us? Because whenever we read the Bible, sometimes we forget that we're engaging something that is alive, that is living, that is moving, that is breathing, and that longs to transform us. And the Bible comes close to us and asks us questions like, who are you? Who have you become? What do you do in a world caught between two trees? You see, the Bible ends where it begins. The Bible ends in Revelation 22 at the tree of life. The same tree of life that we saw in Genesis chapter 3. The Bible ends where it begins because it is the conclusion to an unfinished creation. A creation that has not been fully, completely ended, transformed, redeemed, renewed. Yeah, sure, I'm talking about Eden. But more importantly, I'm talking about you. The unfinished creation in you. How? How do we transform? How do we navigate this world caught between two trees? How do we make sense of the brokenness and the pain and the longings? I'll give you a hint. It has to do with another tree. A tree between both trees that we will come to realize is the true tree of life. We experience transformation by clinging to the cross of Calvary.
Okay. What y'all think of that? I really like what he says about, you know, the children. Mm-hmm. And the fact that children are always, you know, wanting to be transformed into someone or something else. You know, we all have done that growing up. We were, like he's talking about, you know, playing the games and being somebody else. I can't help but think, as he talks about that idea, the way that children understand that concept of being transformed into someone else, I can't help but wonder if that's partly what Jesus referred to when he said, unless you change and become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, change is what? It's transformation, isn't it? See? And we need to have that childlike spirit of a willingness to change, to be transformed. Because you'll see throughout this study, and I think he laid the foundation down pretty well in this very first lesson, unless we're transformed into the image of Christ, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So we really need to have this willingness and this desire to be transformed, to allow God to transform us, and as he said in there, from where we are to where he wants us to be. So let's, on the back of your handout, questions, and I want to spend some time looking at these and some things that I've written down with this and all. The very first question on there, the longing to be someone else is normal, and he emphasizes that. It is a gift from God. So how do we affirm this deep longing while pointing to the true tree of life? How do we affirm that by pointing and while we are pointing to the cross of Calvary? Any thoughts on that? Response? Brian?
As a child, we rely on our parents.
Okay.
So we don't have an issue about transforming because we know our parents have us. They got us. We can be anything we want whenever we want to be something. As we grow through adults, we lose that child mentality of letting our parents have us. Christ is our parent. I use a phrase with the firefighters, and listen to this, and I was thinking about it today. It probably fits us more than it does the firefighters. Two things firefighters don't like. They don't like how things are, and they don't like change.
Right.
As Christians, we don't like how we are right this moment, but we don't like want to go in through any type of changes.
Yeah.
So we're stuck right there in the middle, not being satisfied where we're at, and not being satisfied to go ahead and make the changes that we need to make. But if we rely on Christ like we did as a child, then we don't have to worry about it because we know he has it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And sometimes we actually fight with ourselves over doing that, don't we? I think about children. I think about my grandchildren and I'm watching them play. I think about my kids. My son, when he was little, he was all into weapons, as he would call them. You know, he wanted guns and knives. You know, and he would. He would transform himself, going with this thing, into, a ninja warrior, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He even wrote me a book, okay, when he was in kindergarten, and I have it on my shelf in my office. It's only, a couple of pages, but, the imagination, that's really the key here, okay? How is it that children are able to transform themselves into Superman or Spider-Man or Princess Leia or whoever it is? What is the real key to them being able to transform themselves from that child into whoever they want to be? What's the real key to that? It's a willingness. But what do you have in order to do that? Desire, you got to have an imagination. Okay? You've got to imagine what it would be like. Okay? What could I do if I were Superman? You see, or whatever. So without an imagination, there's not really going to be that much transformation. Okay? Now, here's the interesting thing about us transforming, okay? The Apostle Paul tells us that our God can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, okay? So, Brian, go back to what you said a moment ago. Just think about it this way, okay? I can't out-imagine God in terms of what he can do with me in transforming me. And so if I would yield to him and his imagination, just think, I wouldn't have to wrestle with who I am and who I want to be. I can let God use his imagination and transform me. Brian?
I like what he said in there, that the world calls it childish.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't be childish.
Yeah.
And we are children. So we're all children of God.
Exactly.
And so Satan tells us that's not who you are or who you should be.
Yeah.
And we limit ourselves because we think it's childish. And Christ, like you just said a moment ago, says until we become like children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can't enter into the kingdom.
Yeah, the world is always telling us to grow up. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite movies of all time is the movie Hook. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all remember that movie. I've talked about this a couple of different times, but you know, Robin Williams is Peter Pan, but he doesn't know it. He's an adult, you know, in the early parts of this thing, and he's got a son who's having a real difficult time because, you know, his dad is just not paying a whole lot of attention to him. And one scene that I really like in that movie is they're on the airplane and they're flying over to England. And the boy is sitting there and he's got a baseball and he's just kind of bouncing it against the window of the plane. Okay? And his dad is going, "Will you stop doing that?" And they get into this conversation and the boy says, "Why, are you afraid? You're afraid you're going to get sucked out, aren't you?" You know? And he says, "No, stop." And he's trying to get him to stop. And finally, the dad says to his son, "Will you stop acting like a child?" And the boy kind of starts chuckling a little bit. He looks at him and says, "But I am a child." Mm-hmm. You see? What a wonderful, wonderful way to look at life. Being transformed in Christ. We are children. And we need to have that childlike imagination that overrides the lies that Satan tells us, that we can't change, we can't overcome this sin, we can't undo this. With transformation, God can make us whatever he wants us to be. But as long as we keep looking at it with adult eyes and adult vision, we'll look at what we can't do instead of what we can. You see? And that's a problem that the world has right now. Look at the second question he has on this thing. Why do you think as a society we've shut down the idea that we have a need for transformation? And how has that damaged us? Okay, in other words, our culture, our world, is, as he brought out in this thing, is saying, "Oh no, you can't change that. You're homosexual, you can't change that." You see? You've done this, you can't change that. Whatever it is, that's who God created you to be, is the lie that they're believing, that Satan is telling them. Okay, as he said, it's not, you can't change it, you just have to live with it. Okay? Well, you know, Isaiah, in Isaiah 5 and verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You see, the world is trying to convince us that all the things that are good aren't really good, they're bad. And all the things that are bad aren't really bad, they're good. You see? The world just has this mindset that Satan is using to hold us into who we are instead of encouraging us to be who God wants us to be. Brian?
You always heard that phrase, "Once a thief, always a thief." And that's the word of attitude.
Yeah.
They don't. Once you make a mistake, and we've all made mistakes,
yeah,
secret or open, depends on the person. They want you to believe that's the way you've always been.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at this, cancel culture that we have going on right now. where people are literally going back, looking through yearbooks of people that were in school when they were, one case of a person who was in kindergarten, and taking the pictures that they're finding and the statements that someone made decades ago and trying to use it against them to cancel them, to get them fired from their job or removed from their position or whatever, over something they did decades ago or when they were in high school or middle school. And that's exactly what that's all about. That's who you were back then. That's who you are now. You can't change. See? And that's what the world is telling us. When God says, oh, you can change.
Thank goodness.
You can change. And not only you can change, but you what?
You must change.
You what?
You must change.
You must change. You must change. So it's not a matter of whether we can or not. It's really a matter of whether we will. Will we allow God to transform us? Okay? And the only way that happens, the only place that happens, is at the cross. It's not something we can do on our own. Okay? It's not something we can do on our own. It can only be done in the transforming blood of Christ. Okay? And so we have to decide, are we going to stay as we are? Or are we going to allow God to transform us? You go to John chapter 8. You want proof that we can become different? We can be different? John chapter 8, the story of the woman caught in adultery. And you look at the conversation that Jesus had with her after all of her accusers were gone. Okay? And remember, we've talked about this before. There was no denial on her part that she was guilty, right? She was an adulteress, right? But Jesus' conversation with her said what? Is there no one left to condemn you? No one, sir. Then neither do I condemn you. But what? Go and leave your life of sin. In other words, do what?
Change.
Be transformed from an adulteress to a servant of Christ. That's what he's telling her. See? So we have to be willing to do that. About the middle of the page here, a question on here. So if we're going to change, okay, he asks this question. What does clinging to the tree in the middle, okay, the cross, in other words, what does that look like in our lives? Any thoughts on that?
Not easy. The cross is the stuff we die on.
You said what? Okay, all right. Ryan, what were you saying?
I said it's not easy. The cross is designed to die on.
Okay,
It takes a lot of work.
Because it does require what? Dying, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? Okay, what else? What does it look like? What does it look like in your life? Think about that.
Surrender.
Okay. Hope. Okay. Forgiveness?
You can be something different. You can be different.
Yeah. Satan wants to keep us, we've talked about this a lot of times, Satan wants us to be hopeless. We can't change. I mean, you've heard me, you've seen me over the years, okay? You've seen me go from where I am now to out here, okay? I'm trying to deliver this baby, all right? Okay? But I tell you, isn't this one of the transformation things? It's not an eternal life transformation, but it's part of that idea of transformation. I want to be someone different. I want to get rid of this excess weight. It's causing me health problems. Golly, it is so hard. It's so hard to do that. But I know that it is what's best for me. Just from my physical health standpoint, it's what's best. So I'm working on it. Okay? I'm working on it. But that transformation, when we have something to cling to. Okay? And Cindy mentioned the word hope, and I think that's a huge picture. You know, I mean, if you've ever been in a situation where you needed to be rescued, Brian, I know Brian can tell us all kinds of stories about people that he's rescued from fires and from other situations. And if you've ever been in a situation where you've been rescued or where you have rescued someone, okay? Man, I'm telling you what, that person, you throw them the life preserver out there in the water and you're pulling them in. Let me ask you this, just think about it. How's that person typically holding on to that life preserver? They're clinging to it, right? This is kind of a casual, you know, go ahead and reel me in, guys, right? Oh, no, they are clinging. They're holding on. Hoping. The rescue is going to work. And so, yeah, that idea of hope. We cling to the cross, okay, in hope of that salvation. The writer of Hebrews gives us that definition, right, of faith. And what is that definition? Anybody recall? Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, right? And certain of what we do not see. So we cling to the cross, the tree in the middle between the two trees. We cling to that tree with hope. You see? It's not hope that is desperate. It's not I hope so, as we've talked about a lot of times. It's a hope in the promises of Almighty God, knowing, yes, He promised He would save me. And I cling to that. You see? Any other thoughts on that at all? Yes?
I also think that it involves determination.
Yes.
And I want to grow. I want to change.
Yes.
I want to be different than what I was before.
Yes.
And then that alone comes with the hope that and assurance that this is possible
through
yes. Christ.
Yes. If you do not want to, it will not happen.
Right. Exactly.
God never forces anyone to allow Him to change their life, to accept Him. Okay? We have to want to. We're going to talk here this morning in our worship time about making things available. Okay? And that's what God does. He makes salvation available to us. But we have to choose it. We've got to want it. Okay? And choose to accept it. Down the fourth question from the bottom. How do you know you're being transformed into the image of Christ and not some other imitation? How can you know that? We say, okay, I want to be transformed, but how can you know that you're being transformed correctly into the image of Christ and not something else? lot of people, a lot of church people are being transformed, but I suggest to you, not into the image of Christ. Okay? They're being transformed, I would suggest, into, you know, people that go to church. All right, Charlotte, how do you know?
I think you know if you're being transformed in Christ, other than being transforming yourself and others. If you being transformed into doing things that you know you should be doing, but it feels good to me,
okay,
then that's not right.
All right.
If you being transformed and you feel good, but it's, I can't explain it, but it's just right. It's just right. And you're going to know it's right if it's from God.
Okay.
But if you being transformed, or you think you are being transformed, and you still doing the same thing,
okay,
it's different, but it's still, it feels good.
Okay.
To me. It's right to me.
Okay. I think I hear what you're saying, but let me challenge you here just a little bit, okay?
Okay.
I think a lot of people feel like they're being transformed, and I'm talking about church people,
right,
because it feels right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But how do we know that it's right? How can we be sure that it's right? Rather than just our feeling that it's right. You see what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but
the only way we can do that is by checking it out with God's
right,
word.
Right, right.
You see, that's what I want you to understand. We've got to look at the transformation, and is this what God is telling me in His Word that I need to be doing, how I need to be living?
Right.
You see? Because, again, you know, there's a lot of church people that are doing what they think is right, and they feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, we've talked a whole lot about what Jesus says in Matthew 7. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?
Mm-hmm.
And in your name cast out demons? And in your name do what? Many wonderful works. It feels right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But then he says what? Then I will say to them in that day, that's the judgment day, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. So again, the key is, what does he say there? To do the will of the Father. That's
mm-hmm.
Those are the ones who are going to go to heaven, right? Not just those who think that we're doing right.
Mm-hmm.
We're being transformed
mm-hmm.
into what we think is right. But is it what God says is right? So we've always got to come back to the book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right, we're out of time here. Brian, go ahead and finish this up here.
With one thing was about transformation, it's never easy. And that's one thing that we're going to realize.
Yes.
If we are truly being transformed, that's when Satan's going to attack hard.
Yes.
That's
it
when
is
things
hard.
Are going to get more difficult
mm-hmm.
because we are doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be one of those key things that we're following scriptures. If it comes easy to us, then we should have those red flags pop
yeah.
up and say, why is this so easy?
And also, let me say this, and we just finished our study in Ephesians, and we ended up talking about spiritual warfare and the armor of God, that in this transformation process, we have to rely on that armor that God has given to us, okay? Because, yes, Satan, he doesn't want us to be transformed. Last question on the page here, just think about it. How does the Bible narrative of transformation contrast to the world narrative that you need to stay true to yourself? You see, that's what the world says.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to change. There's nothing wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change. All right? That's the message of the world. But Jesus says, unless you do change, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay. Real quick, Judy, we're out of time.
Well, I was just
going to
say, didn't Jesus say, come unto me, take my yoke up on
mm-hmm.
you?
Yeah.
I mean, he basically tells me, do as I do, and I'm not promising you it's going to be easy.
Yes.
My road was tough. Yours will be tough, too.
Yes,
it's not going to be a piece of cake. But, again, to come to Jesus, where do we need to go? We need to go through the book.
Yes.
We need to take the checkbook and find out if my life is running parallel to Christ.
Yes. Again, keep in mind, The transformation is allowing God to take us from wherever we are to where He wants us to be. And the way we find out what He wants to be is through His Word. Okay? Now, there's a whole lot of questions here, obviously, we did not have time to discuss. I want to encourage you to take these. That's why I give you a handout. Take them and look at them yourself. Think about them. Answer these questions on your own study time, all right? Next week, we'll look at session number 2. Thank you guys very much. No, but I will link you.
Okay.
By the way, if you have your Right Now Media account, you can go on there and look at these lessons to review or what have you, okay? Even prepare for next week, look at lesson number 2, and you'll be familiar with it. We'll watch the videos we begin the lesson, but you can do it ahead of time if you would like to do that. All right?